And then this last year in 2016, we went through the Sermon on the Mount together. And so it's a new year, and there's a new theme that I'd like for us to focus on as we grow this year as a family. And we're going to be talking about something that I've heard a lot of people, especially the young people, here and elsewhere discussing. And that is, what does authentic Christianity look like? What does it mean to be an authentic Christian? And so we're going to begin that study this morning, and we're going to go through and look at many different topics throughout this year. We're going to look at authority and how that is connected with authenticity. We're going to look at the church being authentic. We'll look at having authentic relationships, authentic faith, authentic hope, authentic love, many different types of things that we'll go through. And at the conclusion of the year, we will open up the Word and learn about our authentic Savior and His example that He gave for us. But to begin with, let's just jump right into this topic. And I'll start by saying our services, if you've noticed, our songs are a little shorter than normal. And we haven't sang as many. And the elders have a very brief meeting to go through with us afterwards. And so our songs are a little shorter. And I promised to make the lesson a little shorter. And we all know how that goes in the past. So I told them I'll go no more than 30 minutes. They said minus that five. So here we go, 25 minutes. We're done. Let's see how this goes. But when we talk about authentic Christianity, you know, when people talk about Christians, one of the big questions that people have is, and the big problem that they have with Christianity, is for a lot of people, they say that most Christians are just a bunch of, you can name it, what is it? Hypocrites, right? And that's the big issue that people take with the church. And so there's been a cry and a call with right, and it should be this way, that we need to be real, or that we need to be genuine. But it's led to all sorts of other discussions where people say, is the church relevant anymore, or do we need to change things? And so in this pursuit for being real and genuine, sometimes people have gone to an extreme and gone too far, not in being genuine and sincere. You can never be too genuine or too sincere, but to the point of saying that the problem with the reason we haven't been real is because the scriptures are old and outdated. So we need to update them to make them relevant, and then we'll be more real and more alive. That's a lie that Satan feeds us. But there's also another issue that's circling around where people will combat this and argue that the scriptures are all that we need, and with right, because the Word of God is living and active still today. It's relevant. But we can get to the point where we focus so much on making sure our actions are in agreement with the Word that we forget to, along with our actions, have our heart in agreement with the Word. And people can get so easily in a point where they just go through the motions and they're not genuine or real with their worship or with their walk. And both extremes are incorrect, where we throw the Word away or where we cling to the Word but throw our hearts away. And when we talk about authenticity, being an authentic Christian, there's really going to be two sides to this issue of being an authentic Christian. And we're going to see that an authentic Christian must be sincere. They must be sincere in their faith. They must be sincere in who they are. They must be sincere towards those who they are surrounded by. But not only that, but an authentic Christian must walk in the truth of God's Word. You cannot be sincere and not walk in the truth, or else you don't have an authentic Christian. You also cannot be insincere but hold to the Word and have the right practice, because if you're insincere, again, you don't have an authentic Christian. What we're going to see this morning is that an authentic Christian must walk in both sincerity and truth. And to neglect one is to remove true authenticity from the life of that Christian. Let's begin just by defining our terms, because this is where so often we can get a better grasp of what we're dealing with and what we're talking about. And this is going to bring out the two sides to authenticity. When you look up authentic, this is the first thing that comes up, is something which is authentic is not false or copied. In other words, it's original. It's what it really is. It goes on to say it representing one's true nature or beliefs. And isn't that what we mean when we say that we long to be around people that are sincere or are genuine? And that is that they truly represent actually who they are on the inside. There's no facade, there's no face, but it's genuine from their heart. But the second understanding of authentic is something having an origin supported by unquestionable evidence. And we'll talk about this in a little bit, but has anyone ever seen that show Pawn Stars before? Where people bring in something that they believe is very valuable. And in order to authenticate something as valuable, they bring in an expert to come in and tell them whether or not it actually has a true origin with undisputable evidence that this is in fact a Civil War rifle, or this is in fact a NFL, you know, second Super Bowl ring, or whatever it might be. And so authentic is looked in two different ways. It's the idea of something being genuine, but it's also the idea of something having authority or authenticity in that nature. It proves this also when you look at different synonyms and antonyms of what authentic is. The first two synonyms that pop up when talking about something that is authentic is something that is accurate and something that is authoritative. Again, we have sincerity and truth brought out here. And when you look at the antonym, something that is corrupt and false is directly opposed to authoritative, but also something which is doubtful. Again, you see these two sides of authenticity brought out even when looking at its surrounding words and its surrounding understanding. And so let's begin by just looking at our first point from the scriptures, and that is that an authentic Christian must be sincere. And the scriptures speak a lot about this subject. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says the following. He says, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you." Paul says, we aren't complicated people. We were simply and sincerely exactly what we represented towards you. That's who we are, and that's who we always plan to be. We also read in his words to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "The aim of our charge is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Sincerity is so important in the life of a Christian. Because when you look especially at what the opposite of sincerity is, the issue with so many of the Pharisees at that time when Christ walked this earth is he called them something that meant an actor or someone that was two-faced. And we've already said the word this morning. The problem that most people have with how they view the church is they see them as just a bunch of hypocrites. See, the opposite of being sincere or genuine is to be two-faced. It's to be hypocritical. It's to claim one thing over here, but really believe or do another thing in reality. And we want people to see what we want them to see, but we try to keep this part that we don't want others to see hidden. And Jesus says that's what the Pharisees were guilty of at that time period. In Mark chapter 7, he says, to the Pharisees, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now don't misunderstand what Jesus said. Did they honor him with their lips? Were they saying the right things and addressing God in the right way? He says, absolutely. The problem was they were not sincere in doing so. Their heart was not behind that which they worshiped God with. They were going through the motions, so to speak, and they were hypocrites because of it. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told, "If we say we have fellowship with God, but walk in darkness," he says, "you lie and do not practice the truth." Is that me? am I someone who claims to have fellowship with God and claims to be a Christian, but when you examine my life up close, that's just a face put on for other people. I have not been sincere about who I am, and really, my walk is no different from someone that is sincere in being an unbeliever and says, I don't believe in God. When you compare those, do those look similar? And if they do, then we've got a problem because I have not been sincere or genuine with anyone. Well, because people believe that this is a huge problem, and it is, there's been a big movement in the church to say that we need to be more genuine. We need to be more sincere. We need to be real. And so we need to stop all this hypocrisy. And so we're going to just come back to this tag phrase that we read in the scriptures, and that is, come as you are. Now that phrase is very important because though the scriptures bring out that when Christ calls you, he calls us as sinners, doesn't he? And he died to save sinners. He did not die to save the righteous. But he died to save sinners. But unfortunately, what's been promoted in this idea of being genuine and real is it's not come as you are and repent of your sins, as Jesus would call them to do, but what's being taught is come as you are and stay as you are, is what many people are adhering to. Because after all, let's just be real, I'm just always going to struggle with whatever you might say. I'm just a drunkard. And let's just be real, let's just be authentic, and so that's my issue, and so I'm not going to lie to everybody, and I'm not going to lie to God, and so that's just who I am, but God accepts me for who I am. That's just who I'm going to be. Or I'm just addicted to pornography. I just can't help it. It's just who I am. I'll just let everybody know. I'm going to be genuine, and God's happy with that genuineness and that sincerity, and so God accepts me as I am. Now, is there something to the idea of confessing even the deepest and darkest secrets within our life? Is that part of being sincere and genuine? Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that in a few months when we talk about sincerity and authenticity when it comes to repentance and confession. But the problem is when Jesus was calling people to come into his kingdom, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But before he said that, what did Jesus call people to do? He said, repent. You know what that word means? It means change. You know, I really appreciated the New Knaves Topical Bible. When they talk about sincerity, this is immediately how they begin discussing sincerity. Before they define it or anything else, they say sincerity is not exempt from guilt. And I thought that was really powerful for the following reasons. I want to look at just two examples. I want to look at Paul, and I want to look at Nathaniel. Let's begin by looking at Paul. And when we look at Paul, before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And he persecuted the church, didn't he? And he thought he was doing what was right. He was sincere. And yet later, of course, after Paul goes through his conversion experience, he writes this to the Corinthians. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Now let me ask you a question. When Paul was doing that, was Paul sincere in what he was doing? Absolutely. And his conscience was clear. He thought he was doing the right thing for God. And later he would stand before the Sanhedrin and say that I have lived before God with a clear conscience up to this day. But the question is, though Paul was sincere, was he right? No. But when Paul came to an understanding of the truth, Paul remained sincere and remained genuine because when he understood the truth, what did Paul do? He changed, didn't he? I think an example we can probably relate better to is out of the words of Nathaniel in John chapter 1. Because I might not be able to relate to someone who went from that extreme, from killing people to then being threatened of death himself, standing by their side. But do you guys remember in John chapter 1, when Jesus is calling his disciples, and this is a fascinating text because everybody has stereotypes, don't they? and they have presuppositions. Well, being from Nazareth, I don't know. I don't know of a city to liken it unto. But the stereotype is if you were from Nazareth, there was nothing good that can come out of there. You just weren't anything special. And so Jesus is calling Philip, and he tells him to follow him. And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and he finds Nathanael, and he says to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Let me ask you a question. Was Nathanael being really open and genuine and sincere right there? He was being honest. He's like, "All right, let's be real. Can anything good actually come out of Nazareth?" He was sincere in that comment, though he was maybe perhaps a little prejudiced. He was being sincere. And yet he comes, and Jesus sees Nathanael coming towards him, and he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." He calls him sincere. He calls him genuine. And Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" I wonder what he meant by that. Like, "Oh, you knew. You knew I was sincere." I don't think that's what he meant. I think, in other words, he's like, "How can you make that kind of a statement about me? How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" And he says, "You will see greater things than these." See, Nathanael realized Jesus said something about him that he could not have possibly known where he was. And so Nathanael comes to the only conclusion that this man must be a prophet of God, and it must be who Philip said he was. And though he was sincere before in saying, "Can there anything good come out of Nazareth?" when he came in contact with the evidence and the truth, he was sincere and says, "Never mind, I was wrong. I'm going to change. And sincerely I say, you must be the Son of God." You see, if we're going to be sincere and genuine in our walk as Christians, it's not that we cling to our sinfulness and state, "I'm being genuine because after all, we're all sinners." But it's understanding and coming to the terms that, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, this is what I'm struggling with, but this is what God is calling me to do. To genuinely understand my place as a sinner, but then to genuinely change and start walking in the truth. Because that's the second part of authenticity, is that an authentic Christian must walk in the truth. I want you to see how often sincerity and truth are coupled together in the Scriptures. Let's just look at a few. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, but the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." In 1 Timothy 5 again, look at what's all strung together. That he says, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience," that's being genuine and sincere, and he says, "a sincere faith," an authentic faith, that which is true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul writes, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God," which was read for us earlier, "but from sincerity as from God, we speak in Christ the sight of God," in the sight of God. Paul here links over and over again the idea of being sincere and genuine, but that it has to be accompanied also with walking in that which is true, which is from God. So I want to give you an illustration to illustrate this point and how important being authentic as a Christian is connected to doing exactly what God has instructed us to do. And that's going to be this concept of authority. And we're going to talk about that extensively the next Sunday that I come back from Florida. But I want to use this illustration. Anyone know who this guy is? Okay. Probably one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Babe Ruth. And you guys know how big a fans my family are of baseball, so it might not surprise you that handed down through my family, we have an autographed baseball from Babe Ruth.
pretty fascinating. Bruce, I'm going to hand this to you for a second, okay? I want you to be really careful with this because this is super valuable, okay? Right. What do you think of that? Now, what are you doing?
Yeah, we're checking the signature.
All right. How does it look?
It looks pretty good.
Okay, looks pretty good, right? Okay. He's already inspecting to make sure I'm not a what? A fraud. Okay. Now, Bruce, what if I told you, you know, that's been in my family for a long time, but I'm willing to sell it to you. Let's say you collect baseballs, you want it. I'm willing to sell it to you for $500,000. Okay? It's all yours for $500,000. Before you bought that baseball, what would you want to come with it? Did you guys hear that? A certificate of authenticity. And this is what happens in all those shows, is if you're going to make a claim that something is what it is, that it has its origin with undisputable evidence from this location, it's authentic, you have to have proof of that, don't you? And Bruce would be smart to do that because I wrote this on the baseball about 25 minutes ago back there. This is not a Babe Ruth autograph signature. What it proves is don't ever let me see your signature because I'm pretty good at copying signatures. I'm just kidding. But here's the point. As soon as you recognize that that's not authentic, what happened to the value of that ball? It now has no value, doesn't it? Let's be very clear. Any worship or practice that you bring to God is of absolutely no value if it is not of God, if it is not authentic. When we walk as Christians and when we worship together, I need to make sure that I can show you with undisputable evidence my certificate of authenticity that what I'm doing is actually from God. Because if it's not, it has little to no value whatsoever. Let's look at an example together of this biblically. And we've looked at this before, but I want you to turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Because this is one of those great illustrations. And here, David is trying to bring the ark back into Israel. And they are all worshiping God with sincerity. They are doing everything they can. And in chapter 13, verse 7, it says, they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio and were driving the cart. And David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And it says that when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take a hold of the ark, for the ox stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put his hand out on the ark, and he died there before God. And we know the story. David becomes angry, and he then leaves the ark for a while because he doesn't know what to do, until David realizes that all along they had been trying to honor God, but they were not listening to what he had said. Their worship and their bringing of the ark back into Jerusalem, it was sincere, but it didn't have authority from God. Therefore, it wasn't authentic. And because you read that, they put the ark on a cart. How were they supposed to carry the ark? Only the priests, and they were supposed to carry it through the poles on their shoulders. They weren't supposed to put it on a cart. And so we get to chapter 15, and David writes in verse 13, we see, or David says, because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. It was all about authority and doing that which God had called them to do. This is our certificate of authenticity. And if you want to be an authentic Christian, I better make sure that what I'm doing and what I'm practicing is founded in what is actually from God. Not from man, not made up, because no matter how close it looks or how close it might be, if it's not from God, it has no value whatsoever. We have to have our certificate of authenticity. However, it's also of little to no value if I do that which is from God, but without a sincere heart. Going back to Mark chapter 7, verse 6, may we not be the people that honor God with our lips and yet our heart is far from Him. So here's the conclusion. I made it on time. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2 and then 1 John chapter 1. If we want to be authentic Christians, first and foremost, we must be in line with God's authority and His Word. Look at what John says in 1 John chapter 2. He says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a, what? A liar. It's not authentic. And he says, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's a call to us Christians. If you want to be authentic, then I better make sure that my actions, that my thoughts, that my worship, that our organization of this church, that everything that we do comes directly from the Word, that I am walking in the truth. Because if I'm not walking in the truth, then that is not authentic Christianity, because it's not from God. Its origin is from man. But secondly, if I'm going to be an authentic Christian, I must be sincere and genuine in my actions towards God. Going back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, John writes, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, that's called hypocrisy. He says, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's not genuine. No one can stand up here or stand before anyone else here and say that I just don't sin anymore. No, we all struggle. We all sin, and that's why we need the grace of God and Jesus Christ in our life. But if we confess our sins, that's genuine, isn't it? And that's with a resolve to not remain in them, but to change them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how I'd like to end the lesson. All unrighteousness. What sin is there that God cannot cleanse you from? When you look at that, what does all unrighteousness include? All unrighteousness. If you're not a child of God and you want to become an authentic Christian, then first and foremost, you need to do so with a sincere heart. When the men were convicted on Pentecost and realized that they stood sinful before God and that they had crucified the Son of God, they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them, first of all, to repent. You need to change your heart from a genuine heart, a sincere heart. Change your mind to say, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for God. And when you do that, be buried with Him in baptism. And Peter says, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You rise to walk in newness of life, where with sincerity of heart you serve God by doing that which He has commanded and said. We walk in His Word. That is what it means to be an authentic Christian. And that's what we're going to look at as we go through this next year. And maybe by the end of this year, we can look back on our faith and on our walk and say, I look more like Jesus Christ at the end of this year than I did to begin with. And praise be to God for Him directing me through His Word. If you have any need, won't you make that known as we stand and sing the song of invitation.